I tweaked my back, and I've been in pain since Friday. I put a heat wrap on, I took ibuprofen, nothing was touching it, but Jesus touched it this morning. Doing that. Whatever else we have this morning. Well, I hope you came to hear a word from the Lord today. Some of you may remember, 2 weeks ago I began preaching from a download that the Lord gave me. I don't mind the wind of the Holy Spirit, but those fan paddles will blow my notes all over the place. So, I gave an introduction, but many of you, or some of you, weren't there. Something was sparked in me from the Gospel of John 12:21, where some unbelievers came to the disciples, to Andrew and Philip, and they said, "We wish to see Jesus." And there's a prophetic thing there of people needing, we sang that song this morning, that people would see Jesus in me. And it's no coincidence that you worked that in rotation in recent weeks, Rich, because it undergirds what God has been stirring in my spirit. That when people see us, what do they see? Do they see Christ? Or do they see our flesh? Do they see in how we treat them and how we speak to them? Do they just see the world and us, our imperfections? Or does Christ come forth? And does he get the glory from the way we live our lives? Galatians, I'm going to move quickly, just recap this introduction. Galatians 2, 6 and 7. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And that's a prophetic picture in the scripture of putting on, as the scripture says, putting on Christ and making no room for the flesh, Romans chapter 13. And Paul rebuked the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:4, talking about if someone comes and preaches another Jesus. And, you know, that scripture, I smile when I read that scripture because, you know, my mother didn't believe like I believe. She didn't know Jesus like I do. And I was witnessing before her death to one of the aides, and she says, "Oh, he believes in a different Jesus." No, there's only one Jesus. Amen? And he cannot wait to reveal himself to all of mankind. But he has to be received. So there's a need in this hour to be discerning on the teaching we listen to or watch. And we have to ask, does that teaching line up with Scripture? Can that be supported by the Bible? And also, does it glorify the person who's sharing the word, or does it glorify Christ? Is it Christ-centered, or is it self-centered? And even in our worship, we have to watch what songs are in the lineup, because we are here to honor Him. We are here to worship Him. It's not about us. It's about all the awesome things that Christ has done for us and who He is to us. Amen. So this is a mini-series of sorts entitled clothed with Christ or clothed with a counterfeit. You know, and I want to be clothed with Christ. I want to demonstrate the love of Christ, the character of Christ. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, but that should be the goal of our lifestyle, is to show them Jesus accurately, who he is. And we do that by having a sincere or genuine faith and encounter with the living God through what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. So he communicated a few phrases to me. Window dressing, a superficial or actually misleading presentation of something designed to create a favorable impression. And a window dresser is a person who distorts the facts or puts up a front in order to make a favorable impression. In other words, they're presenting a different Jesus. They're presenting a counterfeit Christ in the way they speak and in the way they act. And Jesus wants us to know his word and accurately speak it. And when we do, he's going to back us up with power and signs and wonders as well. Fixing Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And he's given us, he's full of grace, and he's given us his grace, and he continues to do so. John 1:14, John 1:16, 1 Corinthians 11:1. You can find these all on the recording afterwards to study them. Grace does not compromise. Grace is not cheap, and it does not compromise the Word of God. So how can we be clothed fully in Christ and express a genuine and sincere faith? According to Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Okay, that's a quick intro. Now, this is not my normal preaching style. I usually preach from a passage, but I'm going to preach from different scriptures, five scriptures actually, and I don't believe we're going to get to all of them today, but we'll do our best to communicate the word of truth. And there's a word, and it's that word is translated in the Greek in the New Testament in these five scriptures we're going to take a look at, whether it's today or next time. And that word means unhypocritical, genuine, sincere, or without hypocrisy. That's the way it's variously translated in these scriptures we're going to take a look at. The first one is Romans 12:9, which says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. So, talking about being genuine, letting the love of Christ find a home in us, and then sharing that love that he has bestowed and continues to bestow upon us. You know, on days when I miss the mark, I'm like, how can you love me, Lord? But yet he does. He still extends his love and his grace and his favor to all of us, even when we're not perfect. And that's part of the gospel mystery, the amazing gospel mystery. So, cling to what is good. Luke 10:11, speaking about the disciples, Jesus speaking to his disciples, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure the kingdom of God has come near, whether or not they receive the truth that was spoken. So the disciples are going forth in Jesus' name and with his anointing and with his authority. And sometimes you're not going to be received. Isn't that surprising to anybody? Shouldn't be. That should not diminish your fervor for speaking the truth. Speaking what God has given you to speak and backing it up with deeds, doing what he asks you to do as well. You know, you're not always going to be popular for speaking the truth, but we are called to do it nonetheless. And so, you know, there are times when, just like with the disciples here, you have to shake off, because that negativity wants to rest upon you. That negative response, that unbelief wants to impact you and just detract from your effectiveness and your anointing. And if you let it, it will. So that's what they're saying. They're saying, I shake this off. It may be called, in another sense, praying a cleansing prayer. Not just in a healing room context, but in a context of everyday life. Sometimes, you know, you can get dirty from the word, and you have to shake those things off, and God will cleanse you once again, and you will go forward in his power and his authority to speak and do awesome things for him again. Discouragement is the number one enemy of the believer. I believe that to be true. And you can't stay there. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in Philippians says, I may be knocked down, in the J.B. Phillips rendering, I may be knocked down, but I'm never knocked out. Because I have Jesus in me, the hope of glory. So shake off that negative influence and cling to what is good, and stand in and stand on his truth. Stand up and be a witness for him. Everything else is crying, don't do it in the world. But Jesus says, you're mine and I created you for good works. Matthew 5:37, let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. And so what the scripture is saying is be a straight shooter, if I were to paraphrase that. Speak the truth and nothing but the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, as the expression goes. And God will honor that, and he will back you up, I guarantee you. You will never lose by speaking the truth. You have to do it in love, but you have to speak it. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. You know, this life is a growing up experience. And the more I walk with him, I don't need him less. I recognize how much more I actually need him than when I first believed. And that's maturity, not thinking you know it all, or you've reached some sort of pinnacle in your ministry or with your giftings, but rather, without Christ, you are nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. And so that's where that life flow needs to be, plugged in to the blood of Christ and the anointing of Christ as well. Growing up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Does it? It should. That love, that perfect love which casts out all fear in Peter's letters, it should be your motivating or control everything you do in life. If it isn't, if it's anything else, it's not going to bear fruit, without exception. So speaking the truth in love, but that love of Christ controls us. The passion reads, that love fuels our passion and motivates us. That should be the driving force behind all we do and all we say, and even all we think, if we were to go so far as that. So we need to let his love in us determine all we say and all we do, and then we'll be genuine or sincere in our love. And that's the word there in that Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let it be genuine. Let it be sincere. And, you know, the world knows how to recognize a phony. And even in the church, there should be something that pricks your spirit when someone's not genuine. They can be saying something, but you're saying, no, there's something off here. I have a check in my spirit. And that's because it's not coming from the heart and with the love of Christ. So let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Genuine love. Second scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:6. Actually, you know, starting at verse 3, if we were to go there, it says, giving no cause for offense in anything. And verse 4 says, as servants of God. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the person, whatever the place, we need to demonstrate the love of Christ. You know, yeah, you'll blow your cork every now and then. You'll lose your cool, but you just apologize. That's it. That's the remedy for when you fall short, when you lose your patience. How many times in the day do you lose your patience? Once, twice, 10 times? You will get in your button pressed if there's a button to press. I hate waiting in the grocery checkout line. My patience gets tested every time I go in the market. It seems like I get the one that has to fumble in their coin purse and find the exact coins. They can't get change. No, they have to give the exact amount to the cashier. Or I'm going to write out a check in the express line. That's me. I'm in the express line. I'm sorry. I don't have cash. I got to write a check. Who do I make it out to? Jesus. Help me, Jesus. How many times a day do I say that? More than I like to admit. More than you like to admit, right? Sincere love, genuine love. Genuine love, that's how it's translated there in 2 Corinthians 6:6. So the word genuine means true, authentic, sincerely and honestly felt or experienced. And that's what I'm talking about when I say a counterfeit. You can't present Jesus in an accurate way and not be genuine. Anything less is a disservice and an insult to Almighty God. And that's why he's given us an internal GPS called the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. I need to say that another way. That's not what I meant. It didn't come out the way I meant it. Or maybe it did. And we need to repent and say we're sorry. Please forgive me. Genuine and true. People are looking for the real deal. Real, not counterfeit Christianity. Paul speaking about being like Christ and not being hypocritical, Philippians 2:19-21. I hope to send Timothy, he's the real deal, in other words, Paul's saying here. Verse 20, for I have no one else of kindred spirit, in other words, who will love you like I love you. Paul is saying to the church where he's sending Timothy, who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Verse 21, for they all seek after their own interests. He's talking about in the church. He's talking about believers here that are selfish and self-centered. Not Christ-centered and Christ-honoring. Should I continue? I hope some arrows are hitting the target this morning. They certainly have hit me, and I'm sure will continue to do so. Any preacher will tell you when he preaches, he's preaching to himself as well. They seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. I call this the gospel of convenience. They claim to be Christ followers, but actually their actions show that they are self-centered and self-serving. First John 3:10. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. How is that? What does Scripture say? Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Oh my. Guilty. As charged many, many times. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And 1 John 4:20 also, you can look up. So we need to learn to love others like Jesus loves us and continues to love us. One of the scriptures that touches my heart deeply, it's not in the rotation, but Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me and learn of me, Jesus says. Learn of me. Learn what I'm all about. Watch me. Watch how I treat people. Watch how I speak to people. For I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll find your place. You'll find your, not comfort zone, but you'll find a way that you can live with yourself. That's the way I would say it. It's a learning experience, learning to love like Christ. And how we do that is, you know, sometimes God wants to love us, and what do? He wants to love on us, and we push him away, just like we do with people. we do it with him as well. And that's a sad situation when we do that, but it just shows us that we're not fully yielded to him. We say we are, we say he's Lord, but we act in a different way. Okay, one more scripture, we'll call it a day. I mean, I have two more pages of notes here. I'm serious. People will be looking at their watches. Genuine love. James 3, 16 and 17. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. There's the word again, without hypocrisy, sincere, genuine. God's wisdom and ways are displayed in the character and in the love of Christ. Like Father, like Son. And so like Jesus, like brother and sister in Christ. That's the principle here. And that love of Christ should be on display in our lives for his glory. If it isn't, we need to ask ourselves why. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And that goes from the family, to the workplace, to the church, your spouse. That's the principle. Treating someone as more important. Honoring their needs beyond your convenience, in other words. 1 Peter 2:1-3. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word. Gain an understanding and the wisdom of how much he loves you without measure, if I were to paraphrase those verses. How much does he love you? Are you crucified with Christ? And show how much you appreciate that love also. John 3:33-35. Jesus was given the Spirit without measure from the Father, and he's given us that same Spirit without measure to equip and empower us with faith and grace to believe and also to do anything that he requires of us. And so often, even in the scriptures, you see people saying, oh, I can't do that, Lord, or I don't have, Moses, I'm not smooth of speech. Well, God will never ask you to do something he doesn't empower you to do and give you the authority to do as well. Philippians 4:13, I can. Tell the Lord, tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you need to make it your aim to pursue him more sincerely. Not when it's convenient, not when you feel like it, not as, you know, an afterthought in your day. You need to pursue the Lord more sincerely so that others will witness his genuine love without hypocrisy in you, that will be demonstrated in your life. How you speak, how humble you are, how patient you are, how forgiving you are, and on and on. Are we presenting? Are we presenting an accurate Jesus? Are we clothed with Christ, or are we clothed with a counterfeit? That's the challenge. It's very sobering. Ask the Holy Spirit, see what he says. You may like the answer, or you may not like the answer on any given day. Amen? So I'll stop there today. I have a ton of stuff. The more I look at this, the more that God's given me. And I had two more pages of notes yesterday. I knew I wouldn't get to it, but I'm a student of the Word. And so I know I have at least two or three more sessions before I'm released from sharing what the Lord is burdening my heart with. And God bless you for listening this morning. Amen.